Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Praise God. I mean, there's so many testimonies. I want to encourage you guys to just find them after church or find them throughout the week, message them on Facebook or whatever, and just find them and suck the stories out of them. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are leading people to the Lord. Some for the first time ever. Some are prophesying for the first time ever. And what I love about this is that they were saying, like, this is their first time on one of these types of mission trips, basically. And what I love about it is that, like, in the sense of where we kind of all felt a little disqualified, we kind of felt like, I'm not sure if I can, like, God is showing up every single time. And our encouragement to you is that the only requirement for God to use you is for you to be available. That's all that really counts, because he just wants to use people to reach people, and you get his fulfillment in that, but also the other people get blessed. So, yes. Amen. So let's thank God. You guys are awesome. Yeah, good stuff.
Thank you.
Nosebleed. Oh, man. I want to just share with you a word that's been on my heart, and it's a message that we carried in the Philippines, but as well as I believe it'll minister to you this morning. I also want to say this, that I really believe that the Lord is on assignment, and he's here to restore people's sense of worth. He's here to restore people's sense of value. And God is, the thing about the Lord is that, like, that's just his nature. It's not even that he has to really try to do it. It's just the way he is. God is the God who gives value, and God is the God who gives worth. But there's a spirit out there that is actually working against that assignment of the Lord. Because we'll see this in the scripture, but there, I'm gonna show you in a few minutes here, how the root of corruption is actually an assignment against the God who gives worth and the God who gives value. The glorious gospel of Jesus is that there is sinners, even Paul the apostle would say this, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, and he says, of whom I'm the worst. And the glorious gospel is that we were in darkness. We could never make our way back to light. We were in sin at the bottomless pit, and we couldn't reach out to make ourselves get out of it. But there was a Savior who reached his hand down and drew us out of the bottomless pit. There was a Savior who came out of light into the darkness and lit up the darkness and pulled people out. And that's why we're here this morning, because the glorious gospel of Jesus still works today the same way it worked back then when he came on the earth. And it's the God who restores value. The Bible says there is a people walking in darkness, but they have seen a great light. Yes. Oh, what a beautiful thing. When you're walking in darkness, you can't see where you're going. You don't know who you are. You don't know anything. But when the light shines, your value starts coming back. Your sense of identity starts coming back. Your sense of worth starts coming back. And here's the deal. In scripture, the Bible actually tells us the root cause of this corruption in society. And so I'm going to do this fairly quick here, but here's the deal. There's a scripture, Deuteronomy 13:13 is the first mention of what I'm about to say. Deuteronomy 13 says, corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. Moses is speaking to the people of Israel, and he's telling them what's about to happen to them. But here's the deal. In this verse, that verse where it said corrupt men, it's actually translated in the old King James Bible, certain men, the children of Belial. Now, this is the thing. I don't understand why the modern translations don't give you when it says the children of Belial, for some reason, why they don't translate it, because that's actually what it says in Hebrew. Old King James, I don't know, sometimes it feels like it's more anointed for some reason. I don't know. You're like, when you do the these and the thous and you have a T.D. Jakes accent, it just feels more anointed. You know what I mean? But and I don't know. Whatever. Maybe it's just because he's saying it. But the children of Belial, that's what it says. And so what we see here is there's actually a spirit behind corruption. And the scripture is telling us that it has to do with this entity called Belial. And so with this verse, we can see that this spirit of Belial is actually on assignment. And what is it doing? The manifestation of it is that it's drawing people away to serve worthless idols. And because here's the deal, this spirit of Belial cannot stand the God who gives value. It cannot stand the God who releases purpose and value to people. And this is why that whole teaching and that whole thing about evolution and like saying that we're just, you know, evolved from some primordial soup. It's so demonic in nature, because if you can believe that you're an accident, then it actually just perpetuates a lifestyle that says, I'm an accident, therefore I have no purpose. And so you live a life of worthlessness because you don't even know what you're here for. But if I know that I'm created by a creator, then that means he had an intelligent design for the reason why I exist. And that means I have a purpose. And that means I have value. And that means I have worth. And nobody's disqualified from that, because we've all been created by God. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? And so that's the first manifestation of this thing called Belial. The second manifestation you see in scripture is Judges 19:22. This is a very, very corrupt thing that happened, but it's reality, it's history. It's reminiscent of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a man traveling through the mountains of Ephraim. He needs a place to stay, so this man invites him into his house. As they were hanging out, it says, as they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house that we may know him carnally. Basically, they wanted to have a homosexual gang rape with the guy who was in the house. It's wicked, it's perverse, but this is what was happening. That word where it says perverted men, guess what it is in the King James or the original Hebrew? It is certain men of Belial. Is that crazy? I don't understand why we're not translating it like that, but it would be more helpful, especially after the end of this message, when you know what I'm talking about. Certain sons of Belial, they came around and they wanted to do this. Here's the craziest part about this story. They did not send the men out there, but the guy actually sent one of his wives out there. And the Bible tells us that these perverted men raped this woman all night long until she died, and they laid her at the footstep of the door. Now, understand this is really heavy stuff to say, but I'm just telling you what's already written in the Bible. You can open your Bible and find it just the way I'm telling you. The woman was laying at the door. He tried to see if she was alive. He didn't know. He lifted her up, put the woman on his donkey, and then decided that he's going to cut her up into 12 pieces and mail one and send out one piece of her body to each of the tribes of Israel. This is very corrupt, but there's a point to this. He sends it out, a piece of her body, to each of the tribes of Israel, so that way they would know what the people of this town did. It actually incited a civil war inside of Israel, because all the other people said, this is messed up. We need to execute justice on these people. And it incited a civil war in a culture. The root of a civil war in a culture was this nasty thing called Belial. I'm telling you, the Bible's teaching us the root of corruption in society. We'll see even more in a while's time. It's crazy. The next reference that I'm going to bring up to you is 1 Samuel 1:15, and this is the context of the story. There's a woman named Hannah who was barren. She really wanted to have a child, and so she actually exhausted herself in prayer before the Lord. The priest there, Eli, who was a wicked priest, but nevertheless, he was still the high priest of the Lord. He saw her praying, and she was laying down at the altar, just, and her words weren't even coming out. You know, sometimes we get like that when we're praying. We're like, I'm praying so long, I can't even Shondai right now. You're just, and she exhausted herself in prayer. And the Bible tells us that Eli looked at her and thought she was drunk, because she was just, she couldn't even do it. And he accused her of being drunk. This is her response. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. She said, I'm not drunk, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Guess what that phrase wicked woman is in the Hebrew? A daughter of Belial. In the King James, you see it again. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Again, now we're seeing another manifestation of this nasty thing called Belial. And what does it do? It perpetuates drunkenness. Because she was like, don't accuse me of being Belial. Why would she say that? Because people who are under the influence of a spirit named Belial are living in a life of drunkenness. It's not like don't do bad things. It's actually, there's a root cause to why people are actually going into drunkenness. Most of the time, people aren't just drinking because it's fun. They're drinking because they're trying to drink something away. Are you with me on this? It's not like don't drink because it's bad. No, no, no. Don't drink because you're medicating something that needs to get healed. Yeah, come on. And then later on, 1 Samuel 2, verse 12, the wicked priest Eli had some two wicked sons, because you know what I'm saying, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And it says this, now the sons of Eli were corrupt, they did not know the Lord. Guess what the word corrupt is? You know it by now. They were men of Belial. The sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Context, what happened with these sons of Eli? They were actually robbing the offerings that would come in to the temple. They would actually seduce women that would come to serve at the temple. They would be seducing the women and sleeping with them. And not only that, the Bible said that they were rebellious and that they led Israel astray. What's at the root of this whole thing? I mean, it's this spirit of Belial. It's at the root of this entire thing. So what's the summary? The manifestation of this spirit is drawing people away to serve other gods that aren't really gods at all, and sexual perversion and corruption, stealing from God, and also rebellion and drawing people away from the Lord. I mean, this and drunkenness and all this stuff. There's a root cause to all of these stories. The underlying thing, the common denominator, is the sons of Belial. This nasty thing called Belial. You wouldn't even guess this, but I'm telling you, names mean something in the Bible. Names always have a meaning, and the names actually tell you what the function is. And so that's why the name of Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua. In Hebrew, that means the Lord, Yahweh, is the one who saves. And so when the angel gave Mary the name, or Joseph the name, they said, you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Because the name has to do with the function. You follow me? I mean, you know, the name Andrew means manly and warrior. Now, I know you already got that from looking at me, but I'm saying just in case you might have not, you know, whoa, what over my head, whoa, ho. Andrew, that's what the name means. Whoa, all right. So names mean something. Guess what the name Belial means? In Hebrew, this name Belial means worthlessness. That's what it means. It means without worth, without purpose, no value. That's what it means. Wait a second. You're telling me the root of corruption in society, the root of sexual perversion, the root of people running to alcohol to fix their problems, the root of rebellion and stealing from the Lord, the root of all this stuff isn't just that they're bad people. No. The root is that they're lacking a sense of worth. Whoa, that's a whole lot easier than trying to, you know, bind up seven different principalities and kick demons out here and go in a helicopter to go up to the high places that bind the high things. It's like, forget all that. What if we just partnered with the God who gives value to counteract the lie of the devil that people are worthless? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is simple gospel truth this morning. Like, I want to tell you how spirits work, because the spirit world works like this, and it's very important for us to understand, because it'll make sense in a while's time. When people, the spirits, what they do, and we're going to talk about demons for a second, when demons are present, they're always projecting their assignment onto the people in the environment that are around them. And so on a darker side, if someone's carrying a spirit of rejection, then you don't even have to know them, but you're going to want to reject them. Why? Because the demon is projecting into the atmosphere, reject me, reject me, reject me. And if you follow suit with what the demon's telling you to do, you didn't think it was a demon. You just got random thoughts going through your head. That the way that demons work is they try to give you their thoughts so that you think like them, so that way you'd function like them. I'm not trying to freak anybody out. I'm just saying you all have interactions like this all the time, and you didn't really think of it like this, but I'm telling you the truth. This is why we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to have the Word of God inside of us so that way we don't fall for those stupid things. And so if we fall suit and reject someone, guess what? We perpetuate the foothold of the devil in their life, because they already think that they're rejected because they're listening to the spirit of rejection. That spirit is projecting that into the atmosphere. And if you pick up on it and respond to it and reject them again, guess what you just did? We just perpetuated their sense of rejection. So guess what? That demon gets to sit there some more because they're agreeing with it and giving it a place. You follow me? On the flip side, on a good side, I have an awesome wife who has such a spirit of purity and holiness that when we were dating, it was like, man, like it was like MC Hammer, can't touch this. You know, like, oh man, I ain't going to mess around with that. You know what I'm saying? I love Jesus and I want to honor him with the way I live my life, but we're not messing around sexually because number one, Jesus is awesome, but because she carried such a spirit of purity that holiness of God, the Holy Spirit, was permeating her atmosphere that I couldn't, I was like, it's like, can't touch this, man. I ain't messing around until we get a ring on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, ain't no loving it before the covenant. You know what I'm talking about? No contact without a contract. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it is. She carried the Holy Spirit and she projected holiness into her atmosphere. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, not those other nasty spirits. You with me? And that's the thing. On the opposite, when someone has a spirit of lust, they don't even have to dress. You know, sometimes we say, oh, they have a spirit of lust because they're dressing, whatever. It's like they don't even have to do that. They're carrying this nasty thing, and that spirit of lust is saying, take from me, take from me, take from me, because when you take from me, I feel affection. But it's perverted. It's wrong. Because how many of you know that lust is never satisfied? So as much as you take from them and they get a temporary sense of satisfaction, it's perpetual, and that sense of worthlessness is perpetuated in their life. And so the deal is with the spirit of Belial, he's actually projecting the worthlessness onto the environment and every person he comes around. And when we buy into the lie that we're worthless, then we do worthless things. Because if you believe you're worthless, you have no problem doing worthless things. He's just like, I don't care. Who cares? I'm going to die anyway. No, I'm, you know, I don't care if I get killed, or I don't care if this happens, because no one cares anyway. How many know that's not true? So here's the deal. That name Belial is mentioned 27 times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, only one time. And this is the mention of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. This is what it says. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? Verse 15. And what accord has Christ with, with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? He's doing opposites here. He's saying light, darkness, righteousness, wickedness. You know, he's saying believer, unbeliever, and he's saying Christ with Belial. How do we know Belial is actually a personality, a person? Because he wouldn't contrast it with Christ unless it was. You with me? And so now he's doing opposites. Wait a second. Now we have a key. Now we get to know God a little bit more. Because if that's complete opposite, what Paul is actually telling us is that these that Christ and Belial actually have complete opposite assignments. Wow. Complete opposite nature. Belial is always trying to project worthlessness and get you to believe a lie that you're worthless. But Christ is the God who gives value. And when Jesus came onto the earth, he was loving people that no one wanted to love. I remember this story in Mark chapter 1 where this guy with leprosy, a skin disease, that not only was his body parts losing sensitivity, he might have even lost fingers and things like this because the body parts were, they lose sensitivity, so if it gets hit, you just don't feel it. And so things would fall off, and it's a horrible disease. And these people in society were outcasts, and nobody wanted to touch him. This man found his way to Jesus somehow. I mean, when you hear about the goodness of God, you do anything to get to this man. And this guy, he heard about Jesus. He comes, falls at the feet of Jesus. And he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He didn't doubt his ability, but you know what he doubted? God's willingness. Because no one, I mean, this is the deal. Even the demons know how powerful God is. Most people don't doubt that God can or can't do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, power isn't the problem. Does he really want to, though? Does he really care about little old me? Does he really want to touch me? You didn't touch lepers in that day. Before Jesus even healed the man, you know what he did? He reached out his hand and touched him. And when he touched him, I believe he healed his soul right there, because no one wanted to touch him. Why do we give altar calls for hugs? Because some people haven't been hugged for a long time. That young man, his mother passed away, and he hadn't seen his mom for a while. And so Jan was standing there like a mom. And he said, I miss my mom so much. And the heart of God was moving through Jan. And he was able to get another touch from a mom. Is that amazing? So he said, he touched the man. He said, be healed. He said, I am willing. Be healed. Forever. Forever that word echoes throughout eternity. God is actually willing. God actually wants to. You want to know why? Because he likes you. He loves you a lot. I want to say this as somewhat of a landing part. I'm a preacher, so I got like 17 landings, but we'll try to You know what I'm saying? Try to move it along. You know? Jesus, when he came on the earth, the Father was bragging about him so much. Like, Jesus, can you imagine being a son that your dad brags about you every time he gets a chance? At the baptism, Jesus, the Father was bragging over. At the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father was bragging. Even in the Old Testament, Isaiah 42:1, this is my chosen one in whom I delight. He's bragging about his son. The Bible even tells us in John 17:24 that the Father loved Jesus before the foundation of the world. That means he was getting bragged on before he even came to earth. Before there was a New Testament, before there was an Old Testament, he was bragging on him. And I always wonder, how did Jesus handle all this stuff? Like, people called Jesus the devil. And you know who called him the devil? It was the religious leaders of that day. So it would be the equivalent of a pastor, of a leader, of a church leader coming up to you and say, you got demons, man. The only reason you could do stuff is because you got demons. You're probably demonized, you devil. Can you imagine a religious leader telling you that stuff? I mean, that's like stick the knife and then twist it a few times. And for some reason, Jesus didn't get moved by it at all. He's just like, actually, he turned it as a teaching moment. Actually, that's kind of stupid, guys. A house divided against itself can't stand. How can Satan drive out Satan? I mean, your logic is pretty bad. But some of us, if someone called us a devil and said that we got demons and that's how we could do stuff for God, whatever, demon boy. Like, if someone did that to us, we'd be like, walk away like, yeah, whatever, man, and like weeping. And you know what I'm saying? Especially if a leader did that to you. This is. I'm gonna land on this verse here. It's not gonna come up on the screen, but it's 1 Peter 2:4. And this is what it says: as we come to him, the living stone, and it says this, who was chosen, he was indeed rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. Jesus lived with two realities: chosen by God and rejected by men. But he only chose to draw his identity from one of those realities. We all live in the same reality, Jesus. Because the same people who praise you one day might be the same people who reject you the next day. People's opinions change, and who cares? God's opinion doesn't change. We have nothing to prove. His love stays the same. His opinion never changes. And this is what I know about the love of God. You know you've been marked by the love of God when you are having a healthy view of yourself, yet at the same time, life's not about you anymore. That's how you know. You're not trying to get affection from people. I mean, it's nice when it happens. It's nice. Like Pastor Dan would teach us that when people praise God for the testimony, it's like we're getting the flowers, we smell them, and then we give them back to God. I mean, honestly, we didn't touch the people. Like, we helped the lady get out of the wheelchair, the blind guy, the other lady with the metal. We didn't touch anybody. I didn't touch them. We didn't lay hands on them. I was in a really weird moment because I was like, I really had nothing to do with this. I understand, like, when people would say that, and I'd be like, oh, I'm not sure. And then, like, I'm in this moment, like, I didn't even feel anything. I didn't feel anything. I didn't do anything. I just get to be the donkey that Jesus came in on. I love it. Isn't that amazing? Like, we just actually get to be there for the show. It's so good. And that's not even a self-deprecating statement. Like, I'm okay being a donkey. Like, I'm okay with that. Because I know Dad loves me. And if you reject me, it's okay. Dad still loves me. That's how Jesus lived his life. And that's how he's inviting you to live your life. So full of Daddy's love, overflowing, that you're not a cup half full trying to get someone else to fill the other empty part. You're overflowing. My cup overflows, and now I'm splashing on everybody that I come around because I know how valuable I am. And if that didn't do it for you, he paid the price. The only way that you know how valuable you are is how much someone is willing to pay for you. And he took the favorite of heaven. He took the beloved of heaven, and he gave his life at the cross for you so that you would know for all eternity, God demonstrated his love for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh man, it's the glorious gospel of Jesus that changes lives. How do we combat the spirit of Belial? You just preach the gospel. It's so simple. It's not crazy complicated. The root cause of corruption is that people don't know how valuable they are. But when you preach the gospel, not hellfire and brimstone, but you preach the good news. That's how you know it's gospel, if it's good news. If it's not good news, you shouldn't preach it. But good news is awesome, and it changes people's lives. And the anointing comes upon us so we can preach good news to the poor. Woo! Would you stand with me? I want to pray for us this morning or whatever time it is. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for the two realities. And that the one we get to draw our identity from, chosen by God. We may be rejected by men. We may be rejected by parents or even felt rejected by people in our lives, leaders, etc. But God, I thank you. That doesn't define us. You chose us. You loved us before the foundation of the world. You loved us with the same love that you loved Jesus with. And God, we thank you for that this morning. Just bow your heads with me. If you're here in this place and you actually don't know you're going to heaven, you don't know that your sins are forgiven, and you actually don't even have a real relationship with the Lord, this is what I'm inviting you to today. God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to have a new start with you. He wants to wipe your slate clean. He wants to forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven. And if you're here today and you actually don't know you're going to heaven and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity. I'm going to count to three. And on that count of three, I want you to lift up your hand boldly and say, that's me. I need to accept Jesus. And I thank you for it. God, right now, we thank you that you're moving on hearts. One, two, three. If that's you, just lift up your hand right now and just say, that's me. I actually need to accept the Lord right there. I see you right there in the back there. I see you on the side here, right here, right here, right here. Thank you, Lord. That's five of us saying yes to Jesus this morning. Anyone else want to jump in and say, you know what? I actually need to accept this free gift of forgiveness. Anyone else? Come on. That's awesome. That's five people's eternity changed right there. That's amazing, man. Anyone else? I'm giving 10 more seconds for this because we have to move. But I'm telling you right here, if you're here and you're saying, yes, I need to know I'm going to heaven and I need to accept Jesus in my heart. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. So amazing. You're amazing, God. I see you there in the back. Yep. Amen. That's six of us committing our lives to Jesus for the first time. Just say this all over the room, even if you prayed this prayer before. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I believe you died on the cross to forgive my sins and to give me a brand new start. And this day, I accept your gift of forgiveness and how much you love me. I believe that I'm valuable because you said so. So this day, I commit my life to Jesus Christ. You are my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. And I just want to pray one more thing. Father, I thank you all over this room for even those commitments to you, Lord. I thank you seal them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you. The truth is that you've set us free. And so right now, if you're here in this place, I just want to pray. I believe that God actually just wants to break that thing off of our lives. So if you're saying, you know what, I've been dealing with this sense of worthlessness, but I actually want Jesus to break it off of my life right now. I believe this right now, that when we know the truth sets us free. So I believe a measure of freedom's already been released in the room. But I want to pray for you today. So if that's you, just lift up your hands to the Lord, and I'm going to pray for you. We're not going to count or whatever. I believe it's probably most people in the room today. So Lord, in Jesus' name, for those hands who are lifted, those people who are saying, I'm dealing with this sense of worthlessness, we come against that lie of the devil and that spirit of Belial, and I break its power in Jesus' name. I command that thing to lift off your people. I command the sense of worthlessness to lift off your people. And right now, we release the daddy's love. Oh, man. The ha-has of daddy are coming. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. You rejoice and you sing over your children today. And God, I just release your grace and your mercy. And I decree and declare. This is what Psalm 2 says. I will declare the decree. You know, there's a lot of decrees, but there's it's only one of the decrees. And the decree is, you are my son, you are my daughter, and today I become your father. And I decree that over your people, that you are the children of God, you are the sons, you are the daughters, and today God says, I am your father, and you are worth it to him. You are worthy to him. You can do all things. Forget the sense of worthlessness. Forget the sense that I can't do it, because you can, in Jesus' name. If you agree in this place, shout amen and give God praise for what he's doing. I would like to invite the prayer teams to come forward, and even the missions teams, anyone who's still here from the missions team, you guys can come up here. Here's the deal. As we land today, God is healing things in people's bodies. And I want to just call out a few words. God is healing someone's left eye. The vision has been impaired. God is healing someone's right ankle. God is healing headaches from head trauma. God is healing someone's right wrist. Someone's dealing with a loss of memory. And someone's just desiring more sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. God is doing this in people's lives today. I'm telling you the truth, that just what you saw up here is going to happen here in this room. You're saying, and so I want to invite you, if you're dealing with that, then please come forward to receive prayer. Other than that, if you're saying, I would love someone to continue to pray with me about this sense of worthlessness and God's value for me, I want you to come up as well. And if you just need a hug, I'm telling you, this team up here will love to just hug you and just love you with the love of God. Amen? Yeah. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an excellent week. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.